Won't hold very long this afternoon. I know that we've heard a wonderful lesson this morning preached by Brother Tom. But just want to look at a few passages of scriptures as we study God's Word. I know that Brother Dan had been teaching on the book of Acts, and I would just like to share with you a passage of scripture from this book concerning the Acts of the Apostles. And since I haven't been here, I don't know what Brother Dan have taught on this, and hopefully that I will say something this afternoon that will be helpful and instrumental to us. A lot of time when we study God's Word, although we've studied a subject, when we go back, we can always find something there that we didn't see before. And I just wanted just to share from these passages of scriptures coming from the book of Acts. In this book of Acts, and my subject is the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 1. And in this book, this is the second book that Luke wrote, is the book of Acts. And we will find in this book that his first book, as we all know, is commonly known to us as the Gospel of Luke. And so the book of Acts is a continuation of what Luke taught in the book of Luke. And so we want to look at the book of Acts chapter 1. And we'll study from a few passages of scriptures here. Notice in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The former tristes have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And that's what Luke did in the book of the Gospel of Luke. He told us all the things that Jesus did from the first all the way up until Jesus went back to heaven. Luke told us all about that. And so that's why it says here the former, which means that what Luke taught us in the book of Luke is a continuation of what we see in Acts concerning the things that Jesus did and taught. And one of the things that we will see here, the Bible says that in verse 2, it says that the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And we see that in this book of Acts chapter 1 and 2. The Bible teaches us in this book that in this book of Acts, Luke continued the story by describing some of the struggles that the disciples face as they try to obey the commands of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was taken back up into heaven, the disciples faced some struggles trying to preach the gospel of Christ. And the Bible tells us, we find this in this book of Acts, chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 6 down through 11. The Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his hand, in his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power," in verse 8, After that, the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. And the Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them with white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, after Jesus had ascended up into heaven, he had given the apostles a message to go out and preach all the things that they had been taught, which was the good news, the gospel. But they ran into a problem. And that's what we want to look at in these passages of scripture here. The first conflict between Christians and Jews took place when some of the Jewish religious leaders rejected this message about Jesus. They didn't believe in the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. They didn't believe this message that the apostles were commanded to teach and preach. And so this is what Luke talked about in his continued story that he tells about in the book of Luke. He continued this story in Acts. And we'll look at the book of Acts chapter 4. And we'll start in these passages of scripture. And we'll look at some of the things that they went through. In the book of Acts chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 1. The Bible says, And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. The Bible says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And these were religious people that didn't believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. They didn't believe in this teaching. And this is what the apostles were faced with. And trying to get this message out, the gospel. And as we studied this lesson, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, we find out that the gospel could not be stopped. So the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost were prompting the apostles to speak. And Jesus told them that they would be given power to carry this message to the utmost part of the world. I want us to notice something here. The Bible says that in verse 3 in Acts chapter 4, it said, And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide. The Bible says, Howbeit many of them which heard the word believe, and the number of men was about 5,000. Now you had some people that were really beginning to believe the gospel. The Bible says at this time there was about 5,000 that had believed the teaching of Jesus Christ and the apostles. But you had these Sadducees and the Pharisees. They didn't believe it. And so they wanted the apostles to stop teaching in this name. And I want us to notice something that happened here. We'll drop down to verse 8. The Bible says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, He said, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, He said, If we this day be examined of good deeds done unto this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Now, what happened, there was a man that was sickly and very weak, and he was healed. Now, I'm quite sure you've experienced people like this. The Bible says this impotent man. It was a man that was so weak that he couldn't stand up on his own. Had no strength in his legs. A sickly person. And we've seen people like that. People so sickly that they have to have someone to assist them, and they're getting up and sitting down. But here's a man that had been made whole. And he was standing among the apostles because he had been healed. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't deny the fact that this man hadn't been made whole, but they wanted to know in what authority that this man was made whole. That's what they were questioning, was the authority. Where did this come from? This authority, this man being made whole. Because you see, that is to say that the new is in, which is the New Testament, and the old is out, that was considered as blasphemy. Then they say that the apostles were blaspheming the Old Testament, the law of Moses, as well as God, is to say that this man was made whole by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostle was teaching, that the gospel, the New Testament, is here. This is who made this man whole. And that's what they took offense against. And this is one of the conflicts that the apostles ran into in trying to get this message out in the book of Acts. Notice what happened. The Bible says that in verse 10 of this same book of Acts, the Bible says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of ye builders, which is become the head of the corner." He said, "Well, that stone that you said that was not important, that you rejected, this stone has become the head." That's what the apostle is teaching here. Notice what he said in verse 12. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's what they were teaching. The only way that a person can be saved is that Jesus has to save us for the whole world. If a person wants to be saved, they got to be saved by Jesus. He is the only one that can save us. And that's what we as Christians, we need to remember this. Jesus is the only one that can save us. Nobody else can save us. Nobody. It is Jesus Christ is the one that saves us. God has put salvation in his Son. We remember the old story of the flood. During Noah's days, God put salvation in that ark. And if you were not in that ark, you perished. Because that's where salvation was. The Bible says Noah preached 120 years. There was going to rain. He was a man that was building an ark on dry land. And people walking by just like people walk by today. Here this man building an ark. He had never rained before. Telling people to repent. That one day was going to rain. The Bible says that people going along their merry way, sitting down to eat and rising up to play until the day of the flood. And God closed the door to that ark. It was too late. The same thing today. Salvation has been put in God's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that that's where salvation is. You've got to be in Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. Now, this is a lesson to us as Christians this afternoon, because you're going to probably hear some of all of this stuff going out in this world today. You hear people say that, well, I was in this religious organization and I was baptized there and I was saved. Now I'm coming to the Church of Christ and the only thing I have to do is repent, because I was already saved in that religious, in that Christian organization. You're going to hear that a lot. This is a fight that's going on through the brotherhood right now. People are getting baptized out in different denominations, thinking that they are saved, and the only thing they have to do is come to the Church of Christ and just repent. Brothers and sisters and friends, that's a lie of the devil. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, and we are baptized unto Jesus Christ when we are baptized. That's what we're baptized into, is the body of Christ. The Bible states clearly here, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other name. Well, this was a conflict that the apostle faced during those times, and we're facing it today. And so as we look in these passages of Scripture, we'll look at the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 54 through 59. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 and 59. The Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And this is Stephen that the Bible is speaking of, preaching the gospel of Christ. When they heard these things, the Bible says that they put their hands over their ears. They didn't even want to hear the truth. And they became so angry that they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. And verse 55 said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran up on him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, guess who was standing there at Stephen's feet? Saul. The man we know as Paul, making sure that the law was orchestrated in the way that it should have been. Paul was standing there, but at this time he was Saul, making sure that the law was carried out at the stoning of Stephen's. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's a man that at one time wasted the church, stoned Christians, had them killed. And we read about him now, as the Apostle Paul. It's amazing how God can change you, isn't it? I remember a story once when I first obeyed the gospel. The sister there that was getting ready to go to worship service one morning, and her husband put a shotgun at her head and told her, if you walk out this door to go to church, he said, I'm going to blow your head off. And she walked out the door and she came to worship service. I never forget this sister. What amount of courage that this sister had and her faith in God. I never forget her, Sister Charity. She's passed on. But I was up in Memphis in November. And I was preaching there at this congregation. And someone asked me and said, do you know who that man is right there? I said, no. So that's Sister Charity's husband. Said he obeyed the gospel. Isn't that something? He's a child of God now. It's amazing that how God can change you. But there's some struggles that the apostle went through concerning the gospel. And the Bible tells us that there's another serious problem that they face, the early church, because they truly didn't understand as a follower of Jesus Christ on who could be saved. But things began to change because we remember the story of Philip. He took the message to the Samaritan in Acts chapter 8. But things began to change on who could become a child of God, because they weren't quite sure who could become a child of God, because, you know, the gospel came to the Jew first. But the Holy Ghost was prompting them all the time that, you know, anybody that obeyed God could become Christians. And the apostles really had to understand this. And the Holy Ghost was prompting them all the time that the gospel was for every mankind. And they began to see this when Philip took the gospel to the Samaritan. And we'll look at that passage of Scripture, and we will come shortly to the closing of the lesson here. We'll look at the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And let's look at verse 25. The Bible says, and when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, it says, return to Jerusalem and preach the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That's when things began to change. When people began to believe and teach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's message. They began to change that the gospel is also for the Gentiles. Began to change when Peter went to the home of Cornelius, the Roman soldier. He carried the gospel to him. And finally, as we look at these passages of scriptures, Peter reported to the church in the book of Acts chapter 11. And that's where we come to the conclusion here. Acts chapter 11. And we'll look at verse 18. The Bible says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then have God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The gospel preached unto the Gentiles. The gospel was for everybody. Peter come to realize that God is not a respecter of person, but that whosoever that believes on him, he shall be saved. God is no respecter of person. And so these were some of the struggles that the apostles went through. And one of the main person who did the most to spread the gospel of Christ is a man that was standing at Stephen stoning, the Apostle Paul. he did the most in spreading the gospel of Christ. The lesson is yours this afternoon, and hopefully something was said from these passages of scriptures is to let us know that we serve a just God and we serve a good God. And the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28 and verse 30 and 31, he stayed there at a rented house and preached the gospel for 2 years, welcoming anyone that wanted to come by his home to hear the gospel, and no one tried to stop him preaching that gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ must be preached, and nothing is to stop it. We come to Christ by first hearing his word, and after hearing his word, we must believe it. And after believing it, we must repent. And after repentance, we must make the good confession. And after good confession, be buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. Then when we stumble and fall, we have been advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. And while we stand this afternoon, if we just need prayer, while we sing the chosen song, we may make the good confession.